Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Keith, how are you? I hope you're healthy, my friend.
Yeah, I'm well. How are you doing? I hope you're doing well.
Doing all right. Doing all right. All right, so let's just talk about this schedule that the Sixers have to finish the regular season by records. It's the second easiest of any of the 22 teams. Do you think it's easy in your opinion?
No. I mean, and the reason, well, here's the thing, D. It's like when the last time the NBA teams played was what, March the 11th?
Correct.
So when I'm looking at these schedules, you know, you're saying, okay, I'm assuming what the team used to look like.
Right.
And I think we really won't know what the teams actually look like until, you know, we start seeing them with these three scrimmages.
Yes.
And so it's one of those things, like you look at Washington, you know Washington's going to struggle. But who knows, Orlando may be a whole lot better. You know, Portland may say, hey, let's worry about the off season. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, so it's hard to know.
It's hard to know, exactly. It's hard to know.
Keith, what do we know the days of the scrimmages prior to the August 1st start of the 8 games?
Yeah, the scrimmages are going to begin. They're going to have three scrimmages, and the first ones are going to be around on the 21st or the 22nd.
Got it. Okay, so we're about 3 weeks away from that.
Yeah, exactly.
Keith, people were supposed to be going back to their respective cities this week, and obviously they did. People were tested for the first time. Now we know they're going to be tested every other day, or that's at least what we've been told. Do you know much about what happened over at the Sixers practice facility at all this week?
No, not really. Actually, this week I've been on vacay. So in regards to, like, you're talking about if anybody tested positive.
No, I mean, I didn't even
see what they were doing.
Yeah, like, I didn't see anything. Usually, and even from the organization, you know, there's not a lot. I know everybody's shooting for July 9th, but you would think there'd be a little more activity that we would see.
Oh, yeah. So what happened is they had a couple guys come in. Most of the guys from, all the guys have to be in their home market now, and that's why some of them, when they got the testing and whatnot, well, they had to get the testing. So guys have been coming in and doing, like, voluntary workouts, right? Now, the voluntary, well, quote-unquote, on the first is when, you know, some people are saying it's still going to be voluntary, but some people are saying, like, on the first, they're going to be mandatory.
Got you.
So guys have been coming in there. And also, more coaches were allowed.
Yeah,
to come,
10, I think.
You know, and do things. So it wasn't like how it was, like, 2 weeks prior, where it was one of those things where, you know, it didn't really benefit you to be in there.
Got
it. So this time, it's ramping up more. Now, the one thing I will say, that there are certain teams in the league who guys are organizing where most of the players are playing 5-on-5 and just having, you know, just trying to see what they're doing after these individual workouts. Now, they're not doing it at the practice facilities per se, but there are certain teams in the league who you expect that is going to play very well, like the Lakers.
Right.
One of the teams is doing it.
Now, I know there's some that want the Lakers because they did that, you know, to be punished, so to speak. But you pointed out the very thing that people should know. They didn't do it at their practice facility.
Nah, and I don't think they should be punished. First of all, like, I think that's leadership.
Yes.
I mean, whenever we look at LeBron and you say whatever, you know, whenever he was with Cleveland, Miami, the start of training camp wasn't actually the start of the guys. Like, they always got together a couple weeks earlier. And I think that if you're a leader and if you want your team to win, you know, it's one of those things, A, let's try to rent out a place, and B, let's try to make sure that we can get the testing. And I think that, you know, that's the things that LeBron and guys, other teams have been doing. And they're going to be the teams that are going to come back and they're going to be ready to play. And I don't think you should be penalized. I think that if you're a city and if you're a teammate, you want a guy like that who's going to be ready to play and who's going to demand the most, you know, of his teammate. So, yeah, you shouldn't penalize them at all.
Keith, do you have a feel one way or the other just from your own conversations of people who are more concerned now maybe than 2 weeks ago about going to Orlando because the state and actually Orange County, where Disney is located, those cases of coronavirus have spiked. However, they do remain in a bubble. So if you keep everything tight, you shouldn't be impacted by what's going on the outside. But do you have people who have voiced concerns about that now?
Some have. And as I keep telling them, there's two things that concern me personally. Now, I know people have to voice their concerns. And their number one concern is one thing that I had, and I think Adam Silver is trying to get that addressed, is that the people, the Walt Disney employees, mm-hmm. can come and go and don't have to be tested. And what they're trying to see is they're trying to work out a way that they can get these people tested.
Right.
Because that's a concern right then and there. Now, the second concern is, you know, let's just say players are used to having freedom, especially in today's NBA. And if you're going to say, okay, now the campus is going to be big, but they're going to want to venture off after a while. They're going to get tired of being in the hotel, you know, tired of walking on the grounds, tired of having a mask. So they may try to venture off. Now, if they do that, the concerning part is, what are you going to come back with?
Yeah.
And I mean, are you going to contact the virus? But I honestly believe if they do everything they're supposed to do,
it's
going to be safe. It's probably going to be the safest, you know, place in the country.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I would just show, you know, if you look at the city of Houston right now, I mean, that's when people become that they're tired of dealing with this virus and they just want to do what they want to do. This is what you have now, a city that's in crisis again. So
it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me ask you, Keith, are you one of the people that will go into the bubble as a person covering the team?
See, I don't know yet, and as probably not, just because the price, well, first of all, it's only going to be 10 people inside the bubble, and it's going to be nationally, it's 22 teams, and there are going to be 10 reporters inside there.
I got you.
At the most. Yeah, and what they want is they want national people.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like a Mark Stein, you know, someone like that. I don't know if Woj is going to be there, but it'll be like a Woj. And then they'll have people outside of the bubble. But to be inside of the bubble is extremely expensive. And, you know, I don't know if the access is going to be
all that great.
All that great for your company to say, hey, Keith, we want you to go down there. And here's something else. If you go, you can't arrive no later than July the 13th. And you have to stay through the finals.
Oh, my.
So that's 91 days.
That's,
you know, 91.
Whoa.
So that's a long time.
That is a long time. All right, so we'll assume then that most of the Zooms for post-game conversations or days-off conversations will be the way that you will have access to talking to people.
Yeah, for the most part. Now, say like if you go down there and, you know, if you're outside of the bubble, you go down there and you have, I mean, you'll have the game days, you'll be inside the arena. Now, you won't be close to the players. Like,
right.
You won't be on the floor seating. You'll be elevated a bit. So you have that access. And then it's also one of those things, since you're down there, like, it's because everything's going to be like a Zoom, like a NBA Finals press conference.
Right.
Like, we're doing Zoom with a moderator. So if you're down there, you're guaranteed to get a couple questions.
I got you.
And maybe some other things. But, yeah, it's going to be... It's going to be different. I mean, it's going to be completely different than, you know, anything that you and I have covered before.
All right, let me ask you one last thing, because if you listen to since we've brought up the national media, and in particular, I had played earlier, Kendrick Perkins was saying, in his opinion, the Sixers need these 8 games more than any other team that's down in the bubble of the 22, because a lot of outsiders find this team to, one, have not met expectation, not have chemistry, have health issues, because repeatedly for Joel and with the back with Ben, and that it's just a mess. Do you think that the outsiders are more close to the truth than some of us who see the potential is there, and therefore this group could go on a run? Which way do you think I should lean in thinking?
You know, I think right now a lot of people are throwing stuff out there. You know what I mean? Like now you have to. I mean, to make it sounds good. And I get him. Like, I get what he's saying. I mean, they could have more time to gel. But when you look at it, and we're saying they're going to have 3 games in the last 4 days.
Yep.
We know Joel Embiid is probably going to miss 2 of those games, right? We know some other things are going to happen. I think that with the Sixers gelling is going to come from not the games, but from the day off days and the practices. You know what I mean? I think that's where they're going to get it because, you know, the deal is like the first game they open up against Indiana and then they have the Spurs after that. Like, I see more of Brett Brown really trying to establish his bench. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Trying to get other guys to see what his rotation is. But if we think that with having 8 games in 14 days that we're going to see all these starters playing all these games, you know, I just don't see
it. It's not going to happen.
Not at the tail end. Nah, it's not going to happen, no.
So if that's the case, then you're likely looking at a 6th seed. And it's probably...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It could be, but if you look at the schedule, D, and again, it's hard to look at it, but if you're the Miami Heat, you're saying to yourself, wow, I got screwed. I mean, they only play like one team with a losing record.
Yes,
you
know? I know.
And like that's one, and the other teams, they're all trying to worry about seeding purposes. So, you know, I can see the Sixers, like, here's the thing. If you get up to the number 5 seed, let's just say you get up to number 5, and what are you going to do? I mean, and if you guaranteed to stay out of 6, I mean, do you really want to go up to number 4? What difference does it make?
No, it doesn't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
So, like, you know, I can see the Sixers going up to number 5 and then, you know, looking and seeing what Miami and
Indiana. Yeah.
And Indiana, and then just like, hey, let's just be on cruise control. But Miami, if I'm the Heat, and if everything is equal, all teams have been practicing, which we don't know, or teams come ready to play, which we don't know. If you're the Heat, you're saying to yourself, man, maybe I could slide down to number 6.
Right.
You know, you just don't know. It's just crazy.
It is. It is. It will be interesting to watch. I, for one, am actually looking forward to the actual basketball. And I think on 6 of these days, you could watch 6 games if you so chose to have your live stream going the whole time you're doing whatever you do during the day.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny because now no one can complain. Because you remember before, it was like, oh, there's nothing on TV.
Yes.
Now you're going to start hearing people saying, like people's significant others complaining, saying, hey, it's too much basketball on. Too much basketball. It should be fun.
By the way, your article on Tobias Harris's dad was outstanding, and I'm glad I took the time to read it because obviously I knew he was his agent and the agent of others, but I didn't know how long he's been in that business and how he got into the business. So that was really, really fun for me to read.
Yeah, thank you. It's weird because, like, whenever I used to talk to Tobias, he would always, like, brag about his father. You know, like, oh, yeah, my father's my role model. And I remember when I did a feature on Tobias, like, one of his best friends said that. He was like, you know, I always go to Terrell, who's Tobias's father, to get, you know, advice. So then, you know, I met Terrell, you know, basically, you know, you introduce yourself when you see him at games, you know, since he's his agent and his father. And I just start speaking to other people, and I realized, you know, that, hey, this guy is extremely successful. And when you look at it, it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of times, I guess the stereotype of a parent of an NBA kid is like, you know what, they made it or they're living in their child's shoes.
Sure, but that was not the case. Yep.
It's not the case over there. Like, I mean, think about it. His father was a millionaire before Tobias was born.
Yep.
You know, it's crazy.
And to be able to get the licensing of the NBA for clothing, that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, major. And the funny thing is, you know, he's like a really humble guy. And I remember one day I got a call from someone at the church that he went to, and it's like, man, Tobias Harris' father just left us a sizable donation. I was like, oh, yeah, that's nice. And I was like, wow, did he tell y'all who he was? He's like, no, he just was talking to us. and he wrote a check. And when we went to go look up to see who this guy was, we saw like a picture of him in Tobias.
That's too
and,
funny.
You know, and then the thing with Lewis Lloyd, you know, he, when Lewis Lloyd died, you know, he was one of these guys coming back to Philly, making sure everything was okay.
Yep.
You know, with the funeral, and he's the one who got him reinstated and to the league. You know, Gene Banks was his agent. Cliff Robinson, who used to play for the Sixers.
Yep.
So, you know, he goes back. He goes back a ways.
And also, and why am I drawing a blank on the San Antonio Spurs? I'll have to remember it. But he was in your article.
Oh, Iceman.
Yeah, Iceman. Thank you. George Gervin.
Yeah. George was funny, though, because, like, so, I interviewed George for the story. And so we're talking about Terrell, and he's talking about all the things that Terrell does off the court, right? He calls him a go-getter. So then I was like, yeah, you know, he's a great, and it seems like he's a pretty good agent, too. And he's like, man, he got him 180, man, 180. He just kept going on and on about the deal, the money he got for Tobias.
Yes.
You know, it was just kind of funny. But, yeah, Iceman, and it's, he knew George since he was in high school.
I know.
Like, George was a family friend, so.
And I think that's the other thing I took away from it, Keith, is that personal relationships matter. Doesn't matter what business we're all in, they matter. And that certainly came out of that article for Terrell Harris, who was Tobias's dad, so.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yes. Thank you for the good read. All right. Well, we'll figure this out eventually of what's happening. But I'm going to look forward to, you say July 1st should ramp up a little bit. So that's this week.
Yeah. Was that Tuesday? Wednesday?
Yeah, I think it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I'll look forward to that. Oh, and my last thing, I have to ask you, because the pictures of Ben Simmons on his Instagram, obviously, in using Allen Iverson's words, he looks swolled up in a good way, though. Would you agree that he looks about as big as we've seen him as a Philadelphia 76er?
Yeah, he looks big. He looks big.
I mean, it's muscle. I shouldn't say to people when I mean, he just looks like he's been lifting at an incredible rate.
He's chiseled. Yeah.
Chiseled.
Yeah, he has. I mean, I guess he's, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, his back is strong and everything like that. You know, my thing is, I'm not really surprised, and I know Ben, a lot of people are like, they look at these videos and they get excited and everything. I'm not surprised because, you know, he can carry some weight. You know, my thing is, I just want to see, you know, what happens after the first game. Like, after he gets a lot of contact, how's his back going to hold up?
Right.
Also, I want to see if he's going to show a different skill set. If he's going to take some more perimeter shots.
We'll
see. He can be as big as he wants, which is great. But I just want to see how his body holds up. And B, I would love to see, you know, if he's going to switch up his game a little bit.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.